The words witchcraft, occult, and magic can be mysterious, dark, or even intimidating for some people. Timothy Landry, an assistant professor of anthropology and religious studies at Trinity College, is interested in what people say is witchcraft and what people think about those practices. Next spring, he'll lead a University of Arkansas Honors College signature seminar called Witchcraft. Monday, he'll deliver on Zoom a preview lecture. Late last month, Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums talked to Landry about the course. Landry says he wants students to just think about what certain words mean to them, like occult.
It's an interesting word, right? Because I think it conjures images that are dark and mysterious and perhaps even satanic, images of the other. That's pretty gruesome, right? But in fact, the word occult just means hidden. And we look back to early occultists, and they were really interested. These were early Christians and Jews and Muslims who were really interested in kind of understanding the hidden messages of their texts, the hidden messages within religious practice, which is why the word occult is used, to be hidden. So really the way I think about the occult is just people who are trying to understand hidden, perhaps mysterious messages that are locked within the teachings of their religions that not everybody has access to. It's specialized, right? And a lot of these occultists kind of think back to Plato's cave allegory, where he was talking about the person chained up and trying to, in a cave, and trying to get access to hidden knowledge, and initiation busts those chains and allows him to leave the cave and allows him to see the world for what it really is. So occultists believe that there's an underlying truth to the world that is mysteriously hidden to most of us. But by participating in the occult, you can unlock those doors and gain access to the hidden workings of the cosmos.
When you hear it like that, it makes it sound as if occult is a far broader approach that probably all of us have, by that definition, wondered about, experienced, or looked into hidden things in our faith, religion, or whatever.
I think that's right. I mean, I think we're all occultists, right, in a sense, because we all want to know what the real underlying, we want to look under the hood of the universe. We want to see how the universe works. We want to understand those mysteries. I mean, you may even go as far as saying that scientists are occultists, right, because they're trying to understand the inner workings of the cosmos in the same way that occultists are. It's important to remember that I think the early occultists were scientists. You know, these were people who were scientists, who were scholars, who were philosophers, thinking of Galileo and Newton. All these people involved themselves with the occult. And I think many of us do participate in what we might categorize as the occult without thinking of it that way.
I guess where it gets interesting is depending where you are on the planet and maybe where you are in life, what you think is a, quote, mainstream practice of occult as opposed to something you think that is on the fringe. Like, those of us in the middle of the United States might collectively have a different idea of what is a mainstream approach as opposed to someone who might be in West Africa or Asia or the Caribbean or South America.
Yeah, that's an important point, because I think a lot of times when we think about the occult, we think of Europe, right? We think of what Europeans have done. And my only caution of the word is I think oftentimes we're comfortable applying the word occult to magic and ritual and perhaps even unusual magic or unusual rituals, rituals that the everyday person doesn't see all the time. We're okay applying the word occult to those kinds of practices. And we start thinking about religions of Latin America, indigenous religions, or the Caribbean, like voodoo, or West Africa. The word occult isn't often applied by the everyday public, right? They start thinking about, oh, these are Satanists, or they don't even want to categorize those religions as the occult. They want to kind of completely decenter those religions because of racism and white supremacy and all these things. So I think it's important to think about the politics of the word and how we choose to use that word, which is some of the things we'll be talking about in the class that I'll be teaching.
And exposure, right? I imagine that there would be some people, I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and we took communion every Sunday and, you know, had iconographic images all over the church. I'm sure to someone who's not exposed to that from somewhere else would look and think, well, that is sort of an odd ritual. And it would be just because of exposure, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, anthropology, there's a saying within anthropology that says that anthropology has the ability to make the strange familiar and the familiar strange. And I think it's a beautiful way of kind of contextualizing what you're saying here about exposure. The more you're exposed to these things, the more mundane they become, right? And there's an anthropologist, Tanya Lerman, who's written about this in some ways in her book, Persuasions of the Witch's Craft, where she talks about the very slow and steady process by which people come to believe in the occult, or more directly, come to believe in the efficacy of magic and ritual magic and witchcraft, and how people who are Catholic or Episcopalian or Jewish or any number of religions they were born in find their way to the occult and slowly and gradually kind of take on those beliefs, and they become mundane and they become everyday, and beliefs that used to be weird just become your everyday beliefs pretty quickly.
Yeah. What will you cover during this semester? What subjects will be on the agenda?
So a lot of what we'll be doing is kind of what we're doing right now, is kind of defining words that we take for granted. Like, that's how I start the class. We'll be defining the occult. We'll be defining words like mysticism and esotericism. What are these things? What do we mean when we say esoteric or occult or witch or witchcraft? We'll look historically. We'll start in ancient Greece, because this is truly where it all begins. I'm looking at Plato and Aristotle and moving beyond that into the Middle Ages and the Renaissance period of Europe, when the occult, alchemy and astrology and all these other practices were really in their height. And then move into the modern day, where I'd like to spend most of the class is thinking about modern day occult practices, particularly Wicca or witchcraft that began in England in the 1930s, 1940s. So thinking about that particular movement, which I think is an incredibly interesting movement, because it was really the first time I think that the occult becomes accessible to the average person. Anybody can then practice the occult by looking at Wicca, which is a kind of a reconstructionist type of religion in Europe that was born out of a petri dish of all kinds of different things that were happening at the time. But kind of defining these terms and really normalizing witchcraft and normalizing the occult and normalizing all these things, and also tying them into contemporary politics. Because I think it's important to remember that the word witch has been used to malign people. Right?
Right.
It's been used to malign women for centuries.
It's been used to murder people.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, the Salem witch trials, which is just an hour and a half from my house here in Connecticut. You know, the first witch killed in the United States was killed here in Hartford, Connecticut. You know, this was definitely something that was, and then these people were actually witches, right? That's the other thing, is there's this kind of discourse that gets told about witches and a trope that gets told about witches. So we'll cover all of that. And we may even do a little magic in class as well, and can show the students what magic is and how really everyday magic is. Because magic, look, we all do it. We all participate in magic. That's the beauty of magic, is we all do it. We just don't call it magic.
Oh, now you've got my curiosity. What is something that I have done that is magical? I want to know.
Well, I mean, maybe you wanted to wear a certain piece of clothing when you took an exam, or maybe you only wanted to take an exam with a very particular pencil, or maybe you're an athlete and you put on your eye black in a very particular way, or like Tim Tebow, you write biblical script in your eye black. All this is magic, right? It's all magic. Or if you're Catholic, you sought the intercession of saints, and you believe in a powerful efficacy of holy water. You believe in the ritual of transubstantiation, where unleavened bread becomes the physical body of Christ. This is all magic, right? I mean, occultists believe that Jesus was a sorcerer, was a magician in and of himself, right? So all these things are magic. And I really hope in the class, my goal, I think, is to expand the way we use the word magic. Think about magic. Think about what we do that is also magical, and how we engage in magical thinking.
Is there, forgive me if this is off the wall, is there any relationship, not necessarily actual relationship, but relationship and how we think between perhaps occult or magic and something that's a conspiracy theory like QAnon? I mean, do they have any similarities or?
That is a very interesting question. I mean, they both profit from secrecy, right? And secrecy we live in a capitalist world, right? So I don't think it's a stretch to think of secrecy as a commodity. Mm. Now, whether we agree with the commodification of secrecy or not is a whole nother argument, but I think secrecy has become a commodity. And you can see that playing out, I think, with QAnon, with other kinds of conspiracy theories. They rely on the kind of fogginess of secrecy in the same way that the occult does. Secrecy empowers experiences and empowers our own ideologies. And certainly that happens politically too. And I think you can kind of see it happening in the way that we view polls and political polling and stuff, and how, you know, there's almost a magic to the way polls move and flow. And, you know, I think thinking about that in the same way that we anthropologically interrogate what magic and witchcraft is provides an interesting layer of analysis for looking at contemporary politics. And we certainly will be looking at that in this class.
I imagine you might have thought about the fact that this is going to be a course in Arkansas, which is, you know, a state that has traditionally been pretty Christian and pretty conservative. And if you grew up in the Arkansas Ozarks like I did, you're using words that carried, I mean, amazing heft to them. Occultism, magic, mysticism. Have you thought about that, or does that not matter because academic exploration is the same anywhere?
I mean, that's kind of the fun though, right? Because the idea is I want students to come to the class with their expectations and with their imaginations of what magic and witchcraft are. And look, they're wrong. I guarantee you they're wrong, because I grew up in the South too. I know what I was told about these things, right? There's also a tremendous, there's witchcraft practiced in the Ozarks, right? And the fact is that witchcraft before was a medical system, was a healing system. And people who were poor, even in the Ozarks and Appalachia, in the American South in general, especially among poor communities of color, went to practitioners of these religions for healing, because many of them were also herbalists, and they were very, very, very capable herbalists. So I think the way that you deal with that is the first day of class, is you talk about those things. Like, when you hear the word witch or occult or Satan, what do you think of? What images come to your mind? And then we spend the semester deconstructing them.
Timothy Landry is an assistant professor of anthropology and religious studies at Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut, and he'll lead a University of Arkansas Honors College signature seminar titled Witchcraft next spring. He'll give a preview lecture on Zoom Monday. The lecture is free, but requires advance registration through a link at honorscollege.uark.edu. He spoke with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums.